thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks on 1-2 Radio, where hopefully we are changing the way you think about and experience your world. Now, if you're listening live today, this is March 16th, 2020. And on today's show, we will be discussing A Course in Miracles with writer, web designer, and ACIM teacher Bruce Rawls. And Bruce had suggested that we look at lesson 137. When I am healed, I am not healed alone. Now, how pertinent is that at this particular time? But please be advised, in A Course in Miracles, most of the time, when we're talking about healing, we're not talking about healing of the body. We're not talking about the coronavirus. We are talking about healing that part of our mind, that decision that said, I am alone, I am separated, I ran away from home, and I'm being punished by God. So any of that ego stuff, that decision to be separate is what we're talking about healing. Almost always in A Course in Miracles, when you see the word healing, that's what we're talking about. When we talk about forgiveness, it's about changing our mind about reality, changing our mind about that decision to run away from home, to be separate, to see ourselves as separate from other people, to see ourselves as separate from God. So, you know, please keep that in mind as we start having this discussion with Bruce. But before we have that discussion, there's a couple of things I want to do. One, I want to invite you into our chat room over on Facebook. We have a private group that we use during the shows. And in that private, the way that you can get to that private group, rather, if you haven't ever been there before, and if you're new today, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. But the way that you can get to that private group, that private page, is to go to our radio website, which is 12radio.com. Look on the left side of the page and, you know, click on that link that says chat. You'll be redirected to our private group where you can ask to join. And our producer today, Scott Weaver, will be there and he will let you in. Now, my other announcement has to do with 12listen.com, which, of course, is our what we call our psychic hotline, our support hotline, our counseling hotline. So one of the things that we've been talking about as a group of advisors is how we can provide some extra support to you during this time that a lot of people, I mean, let's face it, we're stressed, we're kind of off the walls a little bit. And so one of the ideas that we came up with is the idea of sanctuary, providing additional support by having a couple of hours a day where we drop our prices. So if that's something you want to participate in, fine. I want you to know that, you know, we have our regular sales, we have our psychic Sundays, etc., and we will continue to celebrate things like new moons and full moons, etc. But every single day, at least for the foreseeable future, we're thinking maybe through March, we'll see how it goes. We are going to have a two-hour period every single day. We're calling it Sanctuary, in which we will drop our prices. That will be every day from 11 a.m. Pacific until 1. Now, we're also going to do one on Wednesday night, another couple hours of sanctuary, because, you know, who knows, you're home with the kids, you know, things are just like flying off the walls or whatever. And I see it as a time of just like checking in, you know, a time to take a breath, you know, kind of just bounce some ideas off somebody or get that extra support. Find some sanctuary in your life, you know, find some calming energy. So on Wednesday evenings, we're also going to have a couple of hours of sanctuary between 6 and 8. Now, that's Pacific time. So if you want to participate in that program, I want you to know that it's coming up. We will be doing it, like I said, probably through the end of March. We'll reevaluate and see how it's going. But if you need some extra support, please let us know. And if you know, dropping those prices really helps you, then, you know, call us during Sanctuary. So thank you very much for listening. And that is on 12listen.com that I'm talking about Sanctuary. But you know what? I'd also offer that idea that at any time, you can, in a sense, drop in. You know, you can drop into 12 Radio and listen to some of the shows. You know, be part of that community, part of that family. If you're not able to listen live, you know that you can find 6 months of archived shows over on our website, 12radio.com. Go to the on-demand section, and you can check out the various hosts, the different shows, and maybe just checking into one of those will actually give you that feeling of belonging and that sense of sanctuary as well. So just know that we're here in many ways, 12 Academy, 12 Radio, 12 Listen. So just know that we're here for you, and you know, we're thinking about you. We're thinking of each other. So let's all kind of band together and see what we can do about, you know, changing the overall feeling about what's going on right now. So with that, I think we are ready to start talking about Lesson 137, When I Am Healed, I Am Not Healed Alone. So let me welcome on my friend and wonderful course student, Bruce Rawls. Hey, Bruce, thank you so much for joining me today. It feels like it's been forever. Does it feel like forever for you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, in fact, you know, truthfully, I was going back through my files and I thought, have we not done a show together in 2020 since we moved it to Mondays?
I don't know that we have.
Maybe we haven't, but...
It does seem like a while.
It does seem like a while, and yet I have a hard time believing it's been that long, but it could have been. But it doesn't really matter because time is an illusion.
Right.
And what really matters is in this moment, I have a consciousness of being with you. And I'm very thankful that you did suggest workbook lesson 137, When I Am Healed, I Am Not Healed Alone. And when somebody suggests something, I do like to kind of start out and just say, okay, why was that on your mind? Why did that come to you? Is there a particular reason you wanted to talk about this workbook lesson?
Well, the reason that originally came to mind is I was about to give a presentation for the Rocky Mountain Miracle Center the following day, I think it was, or that same week anyway, Lesson 136, which has the double shield of oblivion, which is one of my favorite concepts that Ken expounds upon and Ken Wapnick expounds on in his wonderful work. And I thought, well, that'd be a good companion to it. And then when I reread 137 a couple of times today, I was and listened to it, the recording from the FIP website, I was like, oh, wow, this got a lot of good stuff in it. And it seems more timely than ever, particularly in light of, you know, what the world considers healing and then what the Course considers healing. And we could certainly touch on the differences between those two things.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it is interesting because I had been spending, I'd say a whole month or more, really getting deep with Ken's 135 and 136.
Okay.
And so when you said 137, I said, why not? I mean,
perfect. Yeah.
It sounds like it's perfect to me. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I do that, though. I guess I get kind of obsessive because a lesson just like I almost can't leave it. It just, this is so good. This stuff is so good. I'm not going to leave it until I figure I really got it or, you know, I can remember some of these things. So I thought the timing was perfect.
Good.
But, you know, one thing I would like to actually ask you before we get started talking about this lesson, and I'm hoping this will be pertinent to our audience as well, but I noticed that the... You know, we talk a lot about the Foundation for A Course in Miracles, and mm-hmm. they offer some live streaming classes. But now, is it true that live streaming classes are also being offered by the other site, which is acourseinmiracles.org, which is the publisher of the course?
ACM.org, Foundation for Inner Peace.
Yeah. For Inner Peace.
Oh, that's okay. The two sister organizations are both doing online programming more than ever. In the case of the Foundation for Inner Peace, which is in Northern California, in terms of their headquarters, for just about a year, they've been doing webinars. And some of them have been live and some have been, with basically call-in interaction. And some of the more recent ones have been, because of the complexities of that, have been really focused primarily on either dialogues or monologues within Q&A following, but all of them very, very good. And so, you know, I couldn't recommend more highly both websites and both of the streaming programming that they're doing. The mission of the Foundation for Inner Peace is to publish, distribute, and discuss A Course in Miracles. And so, there's a renewed emphasis on the discussion part. And I've also been having conversations with Dr. Bob Rosenthal, and thank you for asking, by the way, with his new book, which is wonderful. It's all about relationships and how the Course views relationships as really a primary mechanism for getting back to our right minds. If you go to acimblog.com, you can see a copy of that new book. And
okay.
It's from Loving One to One Love. And it's, I've only actually only about halfway through, and I've already had two in-depth conversations with Dr. Bob about it. And they're very, his writing is very good. It's in keeping with the other books of his that I've read and savored tremendously. This is no exception. And anyway, enough on that. But so the short answer to your question is yes, there are more and more online video and audio presentations and webinars in particular that are happening, and plus new things that are in the works that I'll share as they become available. So.
Okay. Well, good, because I mean, I'm not confused about there being two organizations, but I so always divided into that FACIM is the teaching arm. And, you know, Ken Wapnick that was pretty much his website and his group. And that's where the online bookstore is, et cetera. And I always see the Foundation for Inner Peace as the publishers of the course. That's where you go for, you know, literally publications of the course in many, many languages. And so all of a sudden, though, I realized I was getting all of these things about webinars or classes. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. You know, all of a sudden it dawned on me, this is the Foundation for Inner Peace. Uh-huh. And I thought, have they changed their mission or,
not at all,
you know,
not
what,
at all.
What's going on with them that all of a sudden they're getting into that business? And maybe I was just not aware they were in that business.
Before. Well, it's interesting because the mission statement is to publish, distribute, and discuss A Course in Miracles has always been that.
Uh-huh.
But it's just in recent the last year in particular, that the discuss portion has really risen to prominence, and Dr. Bob Rosenthal in particular has taken it upon himself to, with help from all the others in the foundation, to really do much more of that. And okay, it is events. That's why I was thinking workshops.
Events. Okay.
It's not workshops, but it's events. Yeah. So it's acim.org/events.
Okay, good. So, well, that's a nice resource for people.
Yeah, yeah.
To have.
So yeah, I mean, I think, and again, to summarize, I think it's really, I would encourage any course student at whatever level to avail themselves of both of those websites and all the wonderful material that both have to offer, because they really are sister organizations. And the complementary nature of what they offer is really a profound, set of resources. Even if you did nothing else online, just those two websites alone have a tremendous depth and breadth of material from every aspect that you can think of in terms of covering what's in the course. So,
okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. Sure. On this show, we just finished listening to excerpts of Ken's workshop called Who is Jesus? Which, you know, whenever I do something like that, it kind of goes back to the whole idea. I mean, part of me is like, I don't even want to say that's the name of the workshop, because I think it can be so taken out of context.
Right. Right.
It's like, what is A Course in Miracles talking about? Who is Jesus? But it's so, I mean, it was an excellent workshop from my standpoint. I mean, I loved listening to it. I listened to the whole thing two or three times. Mm-hmm. And I hope that our audience really liked it too. I thought it was really wonderful. And I can never get enough of that information from what I would consider, you know, credible teachers and resources.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and in
Absolutely.
This day and age, I think that's important. And I feel like the foundation will never steer me wrong. You know,
yeah, I think both
either
foundations,
of these foundations
exactly,
will never steer me wrong.
Yeah,
right?
I think we're in good hands with some really inspired and inspiring folks that really have made it their mission
okay.
to further the course. And while you're sharing that, I was thinking, that particular topic and the one we're about to discuss, and pretty much anything that we could talk about in terms of the course, I always like to kind of preface it with one of the mnemonics that I find helpful, undoubtedly derived from one of Ken Wapnick's teachings, is that the course is always and only about the mind. And in
yes.
particular, the decision-making faculty of the mind. So whether we're talking about healing or whether we're talking about Jesus, we're talking about the mind, and in particular, the decision-making faculty of everyone's mind. And in particular, whoever's listening to it, it's tag, you're it. Since I'm listening to myself talk, it's my mind that I need to be concerned about. And so each of us can say that for ourselves, can't we?
Mm-hmm. And that's such an important thing whenever we get to a lesson like this one, where it says, when I'm healed, I'm not healed alone, or sickness is a defense against the truth. You know, it's, we have to continually, I think I need to continually go back and say, sickness is of the mind. We're not really talking about a cold or the coronavirus or anything else. We're talking about the wrong decision to believe that we are separate, that we're fragile, that we are vulnerable. That all comes along with the ego. The ego loves that stuff, saying, yeah, you need to be scared.
And be afraid, be very afraid.
Be very afraid. Danger, danger. So, but it's easy, it's easy to read these things, you know, about sickness, about healing, and automatically go to, okay, my knee is going to be better, or this is going to be better in my life. And yes, maybe that is true, but they're not talking about healing of the body. They're talking about healing of the mind, healing of the sickness of believing that you're separate from God. Separate from each other. And it's hard. It's hard, and we need to just keep emphasizing that.
It really is a very challenging idea, and yet it's really a pivotal idea. And I was listening to one of the early recordings from Ken and Gloria earlier today, and in this particular portion, Gloria was talking about advances in modern physics and how, you know, physics is really saying, you know, what the Course is saying, and not in those words, but you know, what the Course says is there is no world. This is the central idea the Course attempts to teach. And that's a pretty challenging idea, because we, you know, have overwhelming evidence from this massive three-dimensional moving hologram, this movie of the mind that has created such a convincing, photorealistic, you know, beyond award-winning performance that we don't even question the very premise, the very foundation, the very, you know, the assumptions of the jurisdiction of the ego's mental court, of which it finds, where it finds everyone guilty. And yet if we do, everything changes. And I think that's where the forgiveness classroom comes in. And we realize that, you know, if we're healed, we're not healed alone, for example, because if minds are joined, and it's a pure non-dual course, it's another one of these fundamental ideas that there's really just one thing, and that one thing is our real being. And that real being wasn't made by us, but it was created by that perfect oneness that we could call as our creator, we could call it God. The label doesn't matter, but we are basically the result or the effect of that creation. And yet ultimately we can become aware that we never left that. And I think that's the emphasis of the Course, is removing the barriers in our mind, which is what the Course talks about as sickness, is the barriers, the separations, the walls, the imaginary clouds, the dark clouds that one lesson talks about. You know, the feather could fall through, but yet they seem insurmountable. But really, the obstacles that we deal with every day are, as the previous lesson, 136, talks about, you know, the double shield of oblivion, which is one of my favorites, is because it really highlights that, you know, we've made this castle with a moat and filled with crocodiles and piranhas and the drawbridge that rarely gets let down. And that drawbridge is the idea that, well, wait a minute, maybe it's not the world that's the problem. Maybe it's in my mind. And it's not about the other person. It's not about even my body. It's not about, you know, what's happening in the world or you know, viruses or financial turmoil or other health or relationship issues or whatever. It doesn't really have anything to do with what's happening in the world of space and time, which both Eastern mysticism and the Course in Miracles and, you know, modern physics all suggest that is a misunderstanding. But once we get past that, we, from our inner prompting by listening to the Holy Spirit, we let the drawbridge down and into the castle. Then we realize, okay, now in the castle, you know, the walls are inside the castle are all surrounded with placards and posters for guilt. You know, it's like, okay, now everywhere you look, it's the unconscious guilt has now become conscious. And so, you know, once we're inside the castle, the only thing left to do is get to the castle keep, where there's this you know, beacon, a shining beacon. And in order to get up the spiral staircase, we have to look at all the unconscious but unfounded guilt in the mind. And I think that's what, again, what Holy Spirit helps us do. And then we ascend the staircase, so to speak, and get to the castle keep. And then the door opens from within and realize there's the innocence that we thought we left. But it never went anywhere. We just made up an elaborate Disneyland nightmarish world where all these things seem to befall seemingly separate selves. And we get back to that by the shared interest. And I think that's where the minds are joined and we're not healed alone. Principle comes into play. And we're really undoing duality. We're undoing the idea that you and I and you and anyone else and I and anyone else and each of us and our creator have never been apart in truth. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, I've been really doing this deep dive into lesson 135 and 136, which really is the prelude. It leads up to 137. Mm-hmm. And one thing Ken Wapnick says is the focus should not be on a strong and healthy body, but on a forgiving mind.
Yes.
And when you hear that at first, you're like, oh, well, then I guess I can eat all the chocolate that I want or all these things. And yet, you know, it's just, you know, he's just saying the focus should not be, right. You know, this isn't about finding the perfect pill, the perfect exercise, the perfect diet. But another thing that he says, and in fact, I'm trying to remember if this is actually the text or if this is Ken, but it says an unhealed mind must misuse the body. Until it knows, you know, the truth.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, when I first read that, I was just, that kind of stopped me in my tracks because of that idea of how, you know, the body, we created the body for a purpose. And the purpose is really so that we can hide out from God. Right. So we can hide out from the mind. And that idea, an unhealed mind must misuse the body. And quite truthfully, that made me so sad. I mean, that's how it affected me. I felt that is so sad because that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah. And it hasn't disturbed our real nature
truth
one bit. I mean, the total amalgam, the sum total of all the hallucinations we've ever had in space-time have not disturbed the perfect innocence of the Son of God, and tag, we're all it.
Yes.
Yeah. And that perfect crime is, you know, basically another way of saying it is that perfect crime that we think we need to hide from, that we all think we need to be fugitives from, even if it's unconscious, is only a misunderstanding because it never happened. We forgot to laugh at the tiny mad idea, as the Course puts it. And yesterday, my wife had started watching a rerun of an old film that had been years since either had seen. It was Good Will Hunting. Have you seen that one?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And in the film, I'd forgotten most of the plot until we saw it again. The character played by Matt Damon, through his resistance to being at peace, basically, if you will, brilliant mind, but he was misusing the mind.
Yeah,
we heard that. Yeah. Anyway, and in part of the story, and hopefully it's not a spoiler alert for somebody who hasn't seen it, but the love interest character played by Minnie Driver, starts becoming close with, and then pushes that away because inwardly, you know, you can kind of read between the lines. He's buying into the ego's story about himself, which is I'm not worthy and I don't deserve this, or she'll find out that I'm this, you know, home of evil, darkness and sin, as another workbook lesson says. And so part of the plot is him, you know, pushing that relationship away. And of course, in the context of the movie, it's about pushing a special relationship into a different form of special hate. But if we can really, you know, extrapolate beyond that to what the Course would say is when we go beyond the special love and the special hate, is what we're really afraid of is the real love that awaits us beyond all of the specialness. And that's, I think, the healing that is being talked about here in these three lessons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and one other thing that I would mention is just like, I mean, almost sometimes I just think Jesus is just laughing as he is, you know, basically channeling this information or whatever you want to say, talking to Helen, mm-hmm. because there are times when you're reading some of these lessons and they talk about sickness and you realize they are talking sickness of the body. Because they know that that's what we're thinking.
Right.
But once again, if you look at the context, then you realize they're going, yeah, all this stuff that you keep doing in your body or the sickness that you think you're dealing with. So, you know, we have to be careful too when we're reading it and making sure that we're reading it in context. Because, yeah, one time it really does mean sickness of the mind. Another time it means sickness of the body. And you just have to be careful where you're going with that.
Right. Yeah, it does. It does. And that's another reminder to remain vigilant, gently vigilant for the ego's perennial strategy of level confusion. As long as the
yes.
ego can make the course or anything else we're doing, you know, under the guise of whatever purpose about changing the form, changing the dream, if you will, then it's okay, let's do this. But you know, when we, you know, cross the drawbridge and then the next step is Holy Spirit says, okay, now let's look at this unconscious guilt together and see that it was unfounded as well as unconscious. Mm-hmm. That's when, you know, ego says, no way. It's usually
right.
adjective inserted there, but,
right.
but you know, that at that point, you know, it's when, as the Course says, you know, it no longer pretends to, you know, to be your friend, you know, and it goes from maybe an amber alert to red alert with, you know, the full nuclear arsenal armed and locked and loaded, you know.
Right.
And because, you know, the ego does not want to give up its personhood and its separate self without some kind of a fight. And the irony, of course, is that where we really truly find real fulfillment is in the shared interest and in recognizing that when we're healed, we're not healed alone. And when we find the peace that comes from seeing the silliness of the ego's idea of separation, and even if it's just a momentary lapse in the anxiety or the depression or the discouragement or, you know, the sin, guilt, fear paradigm of the ego, those moments of respite are enough to propel us onward. And they're a cumulative sort of thing. And, you know, even just a few moments a day of saying, wait a minute, I don't have to, you know, nurse this grievance and you know, fan its you know, murky spark into an ugly flame. I can just
yes.
walk away from this argument.
That's
not,
right.
Not always physically, but in my mind, I can say, nope, not going there. I can choose peace instead of this. Yeah.
Okay. Well, and you know, Bruce, even in the first paragraph of this particular lesson, I think it's just so pertinent. I mean, this isn't the first line, but it says, sickness is a retreat from others and a shutting off of joining. It becomes a door that closes on a separate self and keeps it isolated and alone. And that just seems so much like, you know, the title of this lesson, when I'm healed, I'm not healed alone. Mm-hmm. Everything that we do is in ego. Everything that we do, you know, in this, what we think is this body and all this separation, that's it. It's like we've just shut ourselves off. We've just gone into this other room, shut the door, shut ourselves off. Joining is almost always, you know, in the right mind, even though I guess we can join in the wrong mind too, but you know, joining is of the right mind. Joining mm-hmm. is when we're not interested in separate interests and separated right. self.
Exactly. Exactly. And then in the next line in the second paragraph, sickness is isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on, for it seems to keep oneself apart from all the rest, to suffer what the others do not feel. It gives the body final power to make the separation real and keep the mind in solitary prison, split apart and held in pieces by a solid wall of sickened flesh, which it cannot surmount. Well, and you know, in some cases it's obviously the flesh. In other cases, it's just the mental isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like a prisoner in solitary confinement, you know, that's considered the most severe punishment
right.
in our culture, because even as in this world, it's kind of acknowledged that to be cut off from the rest of the world is you know, excruciating, you know, mm-hmm. agonizing. you know, if you mm-hmm. look at the root of that, it means, you know, cut off from our Creator.
Right. In a manner. And yet, who's doing the separation here?
Yeah, exactly. like the little note that I put in one of the scraps that I use as bookmarks from a study group that someone mentioned. I don't even know who said it or where it's from, but you know, if it's the quote is something like, "If God seems far away, guess who moved?"
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and I think how many times I'm reading something of Ken's and he'll say, you know, come to Jesus or something, or, you know, Jesus comes back to you and he goes, "Oh, wait, Jesus doesn't come back to you at all. You go to Jesus."
Exactly,
You come back to God. It's always you coming back, not the other way around.
We're the fickle ones, not the steadfast lighthouse character. Yeah.
Yes, you're absolutely right. We are so fickle.
But we're overcoming that. I think that's where the shared interest and recognizing that when we choose against the ego's insanity and instead choose for the courage to look at the insanity and see that there's nothing there with the Holy Spirit, that helps the entire sonship, as this workbook lesson talks about, and you know, so much else throughout the course reminds us that we're not doing this just for ourselves, because the little s self that we think are doing things for is what we're undoing. Mm-hmm. we're doing it for the capital S self, which is really the Christ mind, if you will, or the collective all-inclusive awareness that is capital S Spirit that we're returning to by practicing the true forgiveness of seeing that nothing happened to disturb that our real identity. And no matter what seems to have happened in dream lifetimes, Richard Bach calls it MGM worlds and Warner Brothers lifetimes. I always like that phrase in the book Illusions. You know, it's like, yeah, that hasn't changed. You know, the folks in the theater, you know, no matter what appears on the screen, you know, the actors are still the same and the audience is still the same. You know, they may have had an experience that has seemingly transformed them, but you know, I think that's maybe where the metaphor breaks apart a little bit. But
yeah, right. Well, some of these metaphors aren't perfect, but they help.
Exactly.
They help.
Yeah, I think so. But you know, if we think this is like a gigantic movie, but we can use the movie with help from Jesus sitting next to us, you know, passing the popcorn back and forth in the theater of our mind, to say, you know, maybe I could see pieces of this, and maybe I'm not upset for the reason I think. Maybe I'm upset because I see something on the screen and I've identified with it, and that character that's on the screen that calls itself Bruce, or the one that calls itself CA, you know, things may seem to happen to those characters not to their liking all the time, and yet that hasn't changed our real nature, hasn't changed our real being. That's our the eternal, unchanging quality and character of what we are, which is all inclusive, and it takes a lot of practice, I think, and gentle vigilance with ourselves to notice when we want to, you know, pick up the sword, when we want to make the grievances a big deal, and just, you know, catch ourselves that, you know, first it might seem once or twice a day, and then it may seem even more scary the more attention we really pay to our minds, and it's like, wow, it's probably hundreds or maybe thousands of times a day that we try to go down the road of, oh, this is being done to me, and I'm at the mercy of X, Y, and Z, and these, you know, people A, B, and C, and drivers D, E, and F on the highway, you know, mm-hmm. and whatever else, you know, whatever other examples come to mind. As long as we think that we're the effect of the world rather than the projector of it, you know, we're betting on the wrong horse as usual.
Yeah. Well, and you know, just some of those analogies or thinking through some of those things, some of the things that I have been really paying attention to or just kind of going back to time and time again are some of the analogies, like, for instance, when they talk about the lighthouse, you know, the minute you even for one second, for one, you know, holy instant, remember who you are and agree to look beyond something, look at it differently, you really do become a beacon of light for the entire group.
Yes.
And you know, somewhere in the text, and I hope I'm not taking it totally out of context, but you know, somewhere it says, and somewhere else a stream starts to flow or a bird sings. And that's such a wonderful analogy that somebody else may actually be touched for even an instant. They go, you know what, maybe it can be different. Maybe there's hope. Maybe life can be different. And we don't even see them. We don't even know them. But we are adding to the light by simply kind of peeling back some of the darkness. And, you know, there's also the place somewhere, I think it's in one of the lessons where they say, you know, and as you step forward, there's a light, there's a star left in your footstep. And that, you know, for others to follow.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think about that. We, you know, I'd like to think I'm following Ken, but on the other hand, following anybody, anytime there's even a glimmer of hope or light, somebody has kind of put that out into the mass consciousness. Somebody has made that possible, you know, and helped me know if they can do it, I can do it too, even though it's not perfectly conscious. Like I may not be aware, like even in this, like, I think it's about paragraph 10. It says, as you let yourself be healed, you see all those around you or who cross your mind or whom you touch or those who seem to have no contact with you healed along with you. Perhaps you will not recognize them all nor realize how great your offering to all the world when you let healing come to you, but you are never healed alone, and legions upon legions will receive the gift that you receive when you are healed. You know, it's like, wow.
Yeah. If minds are joined and everything that we're reading is about the mind and only about the mind, and there really isn't such a thing as duality except in a dream, then how could it be possible for any healing to not affect all mind?
Right.
And it's a staggering concept because we're blinded by form. We're, you know, of course, there's nothing so blinding as perception of form. And then the perception again is not about the photons that hit our retinas or the sound waves that hit our eardrums. It's about the interpretation that the ego makes that says, this is my identity and this is all I got. I'm stuck with this. And, you know, the 4 score and 10 or whatever that, you know, that used to be the, you know, this is the little, you know, little brief blip on the radar of the cosmos, and it's snuffed out almost as quickly as it arises, kind of thing. If we equate ourselves with that, we're definitely betting on the wrong system. And I think intuitively we understand that. And I think that's why when we try to go there, you know, we get discouraged and depressed, thinking that if that's all there is, you know, that's a pretty bleak thing. And I think A Course in Miracles does a really good job of showing the contrast, and then and using the psychological principle of cognitive dissonance, it basically lays out here's the thought system of the Holy Spirit that includes everyone and sees the complete innocence of everyone in truth, and the perfection of that, and the beauty of that, and the joyousness of that. And let's contrast that with the ego's sad story. it's really horrific hologram of duality, and see that, you know, at every turn, you know, everyone's basically screwed. We're all basically, you know, up a creek without a paddle, because the ego does not want us to be happy. It's a seek and do not find paradigm. It basically, because it believes that guilt was possible and that it pulled it off, that it, you know, shattered perfect oneness or destroyed the creator or threw God under the bus, whatever, you know, metaphor comes to mind. And, you know, as egos, we think we actually did that. Unconsciously, we're going to keep dredging up things that reinforce that and you know, continue to make that seem to be so. The self-fulfilling prophecy principle will keep pulling in ways to, you know, we try to beat God at the punch. We say, well, let's all punish myself, God. You don't have to do anything. I've got this handled. For the crime that I never committed, but I believe happened, you know.
Yep. So. Yeah. And I think I have a good analogy for this.
Yeah.
I mean, and I am just laughing at myself, but one continuing thing that I have, you know how you just always have to fight against something, right? Well, for me, it's the cable company, because about every 2 or 3 months, my bill goes up $20 or $40. And when you call them, of course, you have to be on hold forever. And then they explain, well, didn't you read the fine print? This happened, that happened. You know, this come. I like Turner Classic Movies. Well, now Turner Classic Movies isn't part of the package that I had. So now you have to pay more for that package and blah, blah. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times I have these conversations with the cable company that, okay, why is my bill now $40 higher than it was last month? And so once again, this had happened, I don't know, 2 or 3 times in a row. So literally at the end of 2019, I must have talked to them three or four times and each time said, okay, how are you going to get this bill to go back down? We are going to find things to take off of this bill. And so it hadn't even been 2 months and I get my bill for March. And guess what? It went up $20. And so I was loaded for bear. You know, I was like, okay, I have had it. When that person gets on the phone, I am going to just let them have it. But I did go check my bill. And this is true. Over the holidays, a box came from them. I didn't ask for it. I didn't know what it was. And it was the holiday, so I didn't have any interest. I kind of opened it, said, what the heck is that? I don't even know what to do with it. I'm not sure what it's for. I just put it on my piano and left it there. Well, it turns out it's a new router or it's a new modem or something that I'm supposed to, you know, for faster internet. Mm-hmm. And, but of course, they don't tell me. They don't tell me it's coming, or, and I don't particularly know how to hook it up. Although I think, truthfully, it was pretty easy. But the point is, they just do it on their own, and they charge me for it and send me, and I'm paying the shipping for it. And so, anyway, my sister, who is much calmer than me and actually works for them, she happened to just say something to me. I'm on my way home from work or something, and I'm going, yeah, well, I'm going to let one of your, you know, those people have it, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because, of course, she can't legally, ethically help me. So anyway, she goes, let me come by and see what's in the box. Let me see what's going on. So she comes by and, you know, in 10 minutes, she goes, okay, they just want you to they want you to change out this internet connection. She goes, but unfortunately they should have told you, and they should have told you that meanwhile they're charging you for both pieces of equipment. And she said, but I'm going to take this back to them so they will credit your account, and I will also call them, or, you know, or I'll talk to them and see if somebody can't call you and fix this, right? Yeah. But of course I have no, you know, I'm not going to say I didn't want it to happen, but I'm like, yeah, right. Like that's going to happen, you know? So sure enough, she calls me the next day and she goes, okay, I'm at work and somebody's going to call you from the following extension or, you know, this area code, please pick up the phone when they do. And I said, well, how do you know? And she goes, cause I'm sitting right here and that's his phone number. So let him call you, you know? So anyway, he calls me and he said, okay, I just need your permission. I basically am going to credit your account, but I need your permission to take this off. And you're saying that, yes, you did get the piece of equipment. You did install it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just taking it off. Okay, great, fine, thanks. And it was over. But I remember sitting here almost going, well, who am I going to be mad at now? You know, and it's like, you know, and I say that jokingly, but I thought, they took all the wind out of my sails.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, I was ready for a fight, and all of a sudden, there was no fight. So it's like, well, who am I going to fight now, Bruce? You know?
And that's the ego's game, isn't it?
Yes.
When we catch that crazy thought system in the act of quickly shifting and you know, positioning itself to find another adversary, that's usually a good clue that, you know, just like the character, you know, Will in the Good Will Hunting movie, you know, it's like he didn't really want that closeness or that intimacy. So it's like, okay, let's come up with a reason why, you know, this relationship should go bad. Or, you know, in your case, it was, you know, me against
authority is exactly what my issue is.
Well, do we all have the authority problem? And
yes.
That was a good segue to something that, as course students were familiar with, is the authority problem is we think that we made ourselves. And yet, if we recognize that we're all siblings as offspring of the creator of one mind, and we're all part of that, and we don't have to fight because we all get everything in truth, not on the level of form, but in the dream, but on the level of truth, we all inherit the whole thing, which is impossible, you know, in this world, but not only impossible, but inevitable in truth. And so why should we fight over getting everything and being everything? But as egos, you know, as long as we think we're limited, we're gonna want to keep the battle going, you know. Mm-hmm. Like the old saying, is this a private fight or can anyone join in, kind of thing.
You know what? That's exactly, that is so funny, because I mean, like I said, I sat here and really said, who are you going to be mad at now, CA?
Yeah. Well, you know, years ago I read something or saw something that when the Berlin Wall came down, that a lot of the internal agencies in the government that were involved with security had to do something to justify their existence. So they turned to internal enemies, you know, and conspiracies and internal stuff. And I thought, well, what an interesting parallel to what the, how the ego works is,
yeah.
is, you know, is when you start, you know, when you go past that, that drawbridge and you get inside the castle and you realize, well, okay, it's not out there anymore. It's in my mind. But then we got to come up with an internal enemy. Well, the internal enemy, of course, is ego's whole thought system of sin, guilt, and fear. And when it's right in your face, it's a lot harder to run away from. But again, we for both of those steps to get across the drawbridge and to get up to the top of the keep in this analogy, we need Holy Spirit's help all the way, every step of the way. And in order to do that, we have to be willing to look at our grievances and look at the unconscious guilt in the forms that it appears, which is the upset with the cable company, or maybe it's a plug-in that suddenly failed and I've got to come up with a plug-in in my web work, or you know, it could be any number of things. It could be just a comment or a lack of a comment by a family member or a partner or a friend or a coworker, you know, or let alone, you know, being cut off in traffic at on the freeway or a catastrophic illness in a close, person close to you. And it could be all kinds of things, but anytime that we allow anything in this world to upset our peace, and that's a pretty tall order. really it is, but eventually if we can apply it to the little things and see that, you know, we have help, minds are joined, we have the help of the entire sonship. So you were sharing from the 10th paragraph of, you know, that we don't realize the impact that all that we have whenever we choose a positive thinking, you know, positive thought from the Holy Spirit, if you want to call it that, or just basically choose to not see the thought system of separation as valid and question it. Conversely, we have the help of everyone, not necessarily consciously, but everyone can become our savior, seen properly. Mm-hmm. And then, if for example, I watched the Joker movie a couple of weeks ago, and the Joaquin Phoenix is incredible portrayal of this really tortured person, and what I saw in that was like, wow, here's a great caricature of the ego thinking that it has been abused, and so therefore it has to pass the abuse on. So in that case, I was using watching that movie as an opportunity to look at how my ego works so that I can better notice when I'm going down that when do I think I'm tortured? When do I think I'm being put upon or martyred or abused or victimized? And realizing that I'm actually the abuser or the victimizer when I'm going to those frames of mind. And if I can remember that, I will not only be more compassionate with myself, but with everyone else. And again, minds are joined. And so you know, when I'm healed, I'm not healed alone. Right. And when someone else is healed, I benefit. And it has nothing necessarily to do with behavior or things that happen or don't happen on a level of form. It's really all about the mind, because that's where all the action really takes place.
And
of course, miracles, metaphysics.
Yeah. Well, just watching it, like going back to my analogy or my story, the truth is it's not a very good story. Oh, I had an issue with the cable company and they fixed it. It's like, who wants to hear that? You know,
the stunning movie of CA's.
Yes, I had this 3-minute
saga.
I had this great story of how I had been victimized, and all of a sudden it's like, no, I don't have it anymore. I need something else.
Right. Film at 11.
Right. Yeah. Right. Oh my gosh. So.
Yeah, it violates the if it bleeds, it leads news.
Yes. Role, right? Yes, it does. It absolutely does. But it was just such a concrete feeling of, oh, the wind just is gone out of my sails.
Well,
and what did I need that for?
Yeah, but that's a good question. That's a really good question. Why? And if we ask that with the Holy Spirit again, we'll say, well, the answer will come to us is like, we didn't.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And nothing happened, you know.
And do you need that to feel alive? Do you need that to feel like, you know, something? What do you need that for?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, again, the practice of mindfully forgiving yourself for wanting to go into battle and picking up the imaginary sword in your mind against all these horrific foes. The quicker we can see that and look at our grievances and say, wait, how'd the sword get in my hand? Okay, Holy Spirit, help me put it down. You know, it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then when we do that, quicker and quicker each time, and sometimes, you know, quicker and quicker might just be, you know, for some people it might be months or weeks, but eventually, you know, it can get into the days, hours, minutes, and even seconds, you know, where we, mm-hmm. we catch ourselves kind of going into that mental state of, okay, I'm upset or I'm discouraged or I'm, bored or I'm at least, you know, a little bit annoyed or just mildly irritated. It's all the same. You know, the Course says, you know, there's really no order difficulty in miracles. And there's also no order of grievance. I mean, the slightest irritation is the same as intense fury. And so if we can remember to just watch the least little upset and realize it's not about the world, then we've crossed over the drawbridge into the castle and realize I'm not upset for the reason I thought. It wasn't about what's outside the castle. It's not outside the mind. And then we can use Holy Spirit to say, I could see peace instead of this. And we go up to the top of the castle keep and see the beacon there, the lighthouse, and it's been shining steadily waiting for our return. Mm-hmm. Just have to look at the unconscious guilt and see that it was unfounded.
Yep. Yep. A moment by moment decision and choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I recognize that we're probably getting pretty close to our time.
Okay.
And this has been a wonderful discussion. I'm so glad that we're back doing this together. And hopefully we can do this once a month and work out some of our technical issues, mostly my technical issues.
our interests are shared, so we can heal the situation together.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, you heal it, and then I will receive it. How about that?
Sounds good.
Oh, so do you have any announcements that you'd like to make before you go today?
Well, I think we already talked about the Foundation for Inner Peace is having uh-huh. ongoing webinars, and you and I both like to also encourage people to visit the sister website is facim.org for the Foundation for A Course in Miracles and all of the wonderful legacy of Ken Wapsnick's work, which Jeffrey Siebert is now carrying on wonderfully with the recordings that they're doing in Henderson, Nevada. And then you can find what we're doing as well as other conversations I've had with other course folks on acimblog.com. And I try to share things of interest, including audios and videos and in particular, recently I've been really enjoying the classes and particularly the immersion classes from Tim Wise and Lynn Corona in Denver and Susan Dugan.
Yeah, you're doing those online?
Yes.
You're doing those online? Oh.
Yes. And then recently I gave a talk through the Rocky Mountain Miracle Center using their new audiovisual equipment. So that's also in the Rocky Mountain Miracles website.
Cool.
So
I'll
be doing
technology.
Another one of those in May. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
Very nice. And you're going to do another one in May?
Uh-huh.
Okay, when is that and what is the topic? Or do you know?
I think I'm going to be talking about I kind of have a few ideas. So I'll announce it later, but
okay.
I have a few good ideas and the dates, a couple of possibilities, probably either the 10th or the 17th of May. So.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, Bruce, thank you so much for being here.
Likewise. I always enjoy our conversations immensely because I get to remind myself of stuff I can practice to be more peaceful.
Well, good. Well, I'm just having the conversation. Like I said, I feel like I can laugh at myself because not a lot of people would really truly understand if I started talking about how I was laughing at myself last week about that situation.
Uh-huh.
You know, they go, what? You know, and they just wouldn't quite appreciate the language of it. So thank you so much.
It
mean a lot. And I'm glad that we're back doing these conversations,
you know,
and here on Mondays on 1-2 Radio, but we don't know, that could shift up too, but for right now it is on Monday. So everybody, thank you for joining me here today. Thanks to Scott Weaver for being our producer, and thanks to everybody who will listen to this in the future. You know, time is an illusion, so you can always find this on the on-demand section of 12radio.com. But meanwhile, you know, stay tuned because up next is Kathleen Peterson and Friends. You have been listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks and my guest, Bruce Rawls on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about healing. Raise your hand if Saturn, the planet of discipline, structure, and organization, is your favorite cosmic ally. Okay, well, raise your hand if Saturn is at least in the top three of your list. Not so much, huh? If Sirius sober Saturn leaves you cold, you're not in the minority. However, he's one of my faves. Mark Husson and I kind of have a private joke. When Mark looks at an astrology chart, he almost always starts talking about Jupiter, the planet of luck and benefit and expansion. Me? Saturn almost always grabs my attention. Want to know why? Well, you'll just have to tune into my radio show, Simple Tales, on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. Pacific to hear more about this subject. But here is a spoiler alert. Saturn stays in his sign for about 2.5 years, and guess what? 2020 is his year to make a move. He leaves Capricorn on March 21st and heads into cerebral and forward-thinking Aquarius. But there's almost always a but. Saturn only gets to 1 degree of Aquarius before it starts a lengthy retrograde and returns to Capricorn. We won't really see Saturn in Aquarius for real until December, sort of an early holiday gift, the third week of December. So much to talk about, and I promise it'll be fun. Well, it'll be fun for me anyway, and I hope for you too. This is C.A. Brooks, host of Simple Tales, where astrology rocks on 1-2 Radio. Don't be left out in the cold. Join me Tuesdays, 9 a.m. Pacific, here on 1-2 Radio.
Hello, my name is Caroline. I'm an angel intuitive and a health intuitive. And I've been working with people to help them release the issues that are making them ill since 2005. I find that often people are unaware of why they are ill. Since I've been working on 1-2 Listen, I've had clients call and ask me about their health issues, which of course I'm happy to help them with. But if you're interested in removing these blocks, then you're welcome to look at my email-based healing sessions, and this is where the real changes can be made. I'm not a doctor, nor am I qualified to diagnose or discuss your medicines, but I can help to alleviate some of the symptoms by helping your body to recalibrate or realign and work out for itself how to heal. I can work on individuals, on families, on groups of people, on businesses, and on animals. If you're wondering why you are not feeling 100% or you're stuck in a pattern and do not seem to be able to move forward, can I suggest that you take a look at what I'm offering and let's find a way to help you move forward together. Look for Caroline N on 1-2listen.com, and I very much look forward to working with you and helping you to move forward.